The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Many years ago, I had Bishop Oyedepo say, he said, wickedness is real. He said, the devil's satanic wickedness is real. He said, but more real is the power of God. And I believe it more than any other thing. That more real is the power of God. Say, more real is the power of God. Lack is real. Poverty is real. Sickness is real. Challenges are real. But more real is the power of God. Hallelujah. My experiences are real, but more real is the power of God. My challenges are real, but more real is the power of God. Say amen.
Amen.
Give Lord a big amen. Glory to God. Look to your left and to your right and give someone high five and welcome back to this meeting. And let's be seated. Hallelujah. Make sure you always wear a smile every time you are in service. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I'm starting a teaching this morning. Amen. Are you ready for God's word? Kenanatona latea. Amen. Are you ready? We're going to teach. We're going to pray. We're going to interchange all of that. You know, this month is going to be the best of months for us. Amen. There's a conference the Lord just put in my heart while I was standing here that we're going to do very soon. Do you understand? Very soon, like a very powerful conference. I've not discussed with the ministers, but it's going to happen. Say amen. Aren't you glad you have a pastor that is led by the Spirit?
Yes, sir.
A pastor that is not led by your face. Yes, many pastors are led by their members' mood. If people are not very happy this morning, let me preach a very lively message. I'm not led by your mood. I'm led by the Holy Ghost. Say amen.
Yes,
how was we here last Sunday? Let me see how we here last Sunday. How was that teaching? Not led by your mood. Some of you are frowning your face that day. What kind of pastor is this? I'm here. Amen. I'm teaching on the defeated foe. The defeated foe. We won't assume that everybody here knows what or who a foe is. So I want to know who knows foe. What does foe mean? Foe is just another English word. I think it's even it's old English also for enemy, an opposition. And of course, by hearing that topic, you already know we're talking about the devil. Abby, you know, right? He is our enemy, but he's defeated. Say amen. I'm not a pastor that always talks about Satan. I don't really have a lot of time for Satan. But you see, there are two extremes that exist when people talk about Satan. And these two extremes, let me teach you something. Generally, in Christian doctrine, stay away from extremes. Bible doctrine, stay away from extremes. Because sometimes, one simple definition of falsehood or heresy is when a particular truth is stretched to the extreme at the expense of other truths. Did you get what I said now? When a particular truth is stretched to the extreme at the expense of other truths, we might have heresy there, or at least falsehood or a little of it.
Are you following me?
Just like, and that's what is happening in many places. Some things people say are not entirely wrong, but when you begin to stretch it, just like when people say, you know, I have corrected a lot of extremes. A lot of extremes, even about this certain thing. The first extreme, there are people who are Satan conscious. They believe that everything is demonic. Satan is everywhere. Every time we are binding Satan, every time we are fighting Satan, every time we have a challenge, oh, Satan is there. So they are very Satan conscious. What I put in my notice, they believe Satan is always after them, and they see Satan in everything they do. In everything they do, there is Satan. Oh, I just saw a snake. That's Satan. I just saw rat. That's Satan. As I was just sleeping, mosquito flew over my ear. Ah, that must be that. They're very superstitious. That's the word. And by next week or next 2 weeks, I will bring a special warning on superstition. Amen? That's a terrible extreme. Oh, everything is Satan. So you see them, they go to church. If they spend 3 hours in church, about 2 hours is used to bind Satan. Every demon from my father's house. That's an extreme. That is actually honoring Satan and exalting Satan above God. Because we can't come to church to serve God or to pray and worship God and learn his word, and we are spending a lot of time with Satan. So you see them, it affects their prayer life too. Amen. That is what is funding many churches today. Many ministries, you know. Any ministry you see where people are always binding Satan, that, people are always there. It's bad. It's an extreme. It funds their prayer life. 12 a.m., the guy gets up to pray. Nothing wrong with praying by 12 a.m., but then from 12 to 2, he's praying all his binding that devil. See the challenge? The same devils he bound today, he will bind them tomorrow. He will bind them next year. I get to the point. That's an extreme. Can I say something to you? That person is under satanic attack. Amen? And I will show you as we continue. He's under the bondage of Satan. Because by the time we get to next week or so, you will learn, I'm going to make a statement, you will learn that satanic programming is stronger than satanic power. But that's next week. Amen. Now, there's another extreme where people say, I don't believe in all this Satan thing. Satan does not exist. I don't do Satan. They're ignorant of him. They don't believe he exists. So there's nothing like Satan. I don't do this binding. All this Satan. I'm just there. You know, I've seen people in that extreme. And some of them, painfully, either they are atheists or agnostics. Or they are people who have stretched the truth of new creation realities to an extreme. Are you following me? To a very bad extreme. Oh, there's nothing like Satan. And sometimes when they're talking, you are seeing the finger of the devil all over their lives. I didn't get the point. And I say, just like a child, have you seen, when we were small, amen, when we were young, we used to steal gari. It's not like to cook it. You know, gari, did you have a lot of raw gari in your house? So you can still just put in your mouth. But sometimes, you know, that very embarrassing food. Very embarrassing. So you steal it, you put it in your mouth, and they say, do you not say nothing? You are saying nothing and it's all over your mouth. I'm saying, open your hand, I didn't do anything. So, okay, sorry, I don't know how we got there. You are seeing them deny. There's nothing like curses. Nothing like curses. You look at their life, you are seeing that down the course. And that's not to insult anybody. I saw one on Facebook, we're just talking. And I wanted to talk to him, but I'm not his pastor, so he will grow, he will learn. So much as we don't glorify Satan, we don't also ignore him. Can I also tell you, people who say Satan does not exist are under his bondage. That's why they're saying he doesn't exist. Because if Satan can convince you that he does not exist, he can do anything in your life and you excuse it on anything. Satan is real. Witchcraft is real. But more real is the power of God. Amen. So these two parties are under his attack. What we should rather know, look at the balance here.
we should know what Christ has done to Satan, the victory that he has won for us, and how to enforce that victory over the devil. We should know how, what Christ, in Jesus going to the cross, we're going to look at that a little this morning, what he has done to Satan, the victory we already have over the devil, and how to enforce that victory. That's what we should know. But to get to an extreme of, oh, I don't believe all this devil thing, Satan does not exist, he's going to run right out of your life. What you don't realize is that Satan is a trespasser. You know, Satan is not a gentleman. He's not someone you're going to say, well, I'm just going to stop my own. I'm not going to bind you. I'm not going to talk to you. I just want to stop my own. You stay on your own. Well, he doesn't operate like that. You stay on your own, he's going to come. Amen. Once you just stay on your own, I'm coming. You know, there's this movie I saw, you know, sometime last year, where this guy said, I don't believe in all this witchcraft thing. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not even a pagan. I'm just there. Witches, I don't believe they exist. And the movie really showed him pepper. Because they pursued him. If I had two different, the witchcraft kingdom and the mermaid, they were after his life. And I'm not such a thing, you become a pastor. Or a native doctor, you have to choose one. There are satanic forces on the earth. And you better come to terms with that. But there is victory in Christ Jesus. The problem of the first extreme is they don't know the victory Christ has won for us. They don't know. They don't know the victory he has won for us. So they may be saying it, but they don't know it. So every time they want to bind the devil, they want to kill him, they want to, they think that is everywhere. That's an extreme. The second camp, the problem is, they know, can I say this? Okay. They know the legal side of what Christ has done, but they don't know the vital side. Let me give you an example. In Jesus going to the cross, you have been set free from the power of sin. Do you believe that? But then, that is legal, that is a fact. You now have to grow and begin to apply and enforce that freedom Jesus has given you. You now begin to declare and confess God's word, I'm a new man in Christ, sin has no power over me. Now, it is not when you are confessing those things that sin is losing its grip on you. No, that's not when. That is when you are walking into the reality of what God has made available for you. Do you understand it? By Jesus going to the cross, you're not meant to be sick. That's the truth. Now, but when you see sickness in your life, now that, you're not meant to be sick, is a fact. Now, that is where you now see sickness in your life, you now stand up against it. By Jesus going to the cross, the devil is defeated already. But then, if you just sit down and watch him, he's going to come after you. Let me give you a practical example. If there is a slave in your house, a slave, you guys, your dad conquered him, captured him, and put him in your house as a slave. But then you grow, and the slave begins to order you around. And you do not take your position as a son and say, will you stop that? Come on, go do that. You just keep living under his bondage. Even though he's a slave, you are not enforcing the authority you have over him. And that's how Satan operates. So you see, the both parties have a problem. They will forever struggle under satanic spells. Say amen. Now, and I want to show you, so we have to start by knowing that Jesus, by his death and his resurrection, has defeated the devil. No, that's not the word the King James used. King James used the word destroyed. Hebrews 2 verse 14, pray it up. Hebrews 2 verse 14. I'd like us to read from the screen. Are you ready? Let's read together, everybody. Verse much common. That's not everybody. Listen, let me teach you something. There's something my dad calls spiritual home training. And part of spiritual home training is that when you are in church, you should be in church. You know, when we are starting, I saw some of you, they say, oh, stand up, let's pray, sitting down. That's, you lack training. That's what it means. When you are in church, if they say pray, you stand up. If they say jump, you jump. If they say sit down, you sit down. If they say sing, you're singing. If you won't do that, you go home. That's the truth. The church is not a place where we try to pamper you. If you won't do that, that's a way things are done in church. So if I say read from the screen, I'm not trying to ginger you. I'm saying read from the screen. But there is something that happens when you read God's word by yourself. Are you getting the point? So learn it. And that's, by the way, that's even how you keep awake in teaching meetings. By participating in the teaching. Say amen. Okay, that's a little big for somebody. So let's read it again. What did you go? For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Now watch closely. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So by his death on the cross, he destroyed the devil. And this is a powerful scripture. Though people can push it to the extreme. You say, oh, Satan is destroyed. There is no more devil. No, that's not what he's saying. The word destroy in the Greek is the word katakio. Katakio. That's word in the Greek. That's K-A-T-A-R-G-E-O. It means to render something idle, to make it non-efficient. To make it non-efficient. To destroy him that had the power of death. In other words, Satan has lost his efficiency. He has lost his effectiveness. And that happened by Jesus going to the cross. When he died and rose again, that death and resurrection became the death of the devil. Hallelujah. The way NLT puts it, NLT said he broke his power. He broke his power. He broke the power of the devil. So by his death, he has broken the power of satanic forces. And that's something to shout about. Hallelujah. By his death, he broke the power of the devil. He rendered the devil inefficient. He rendered the devil idle. When you understand what I'm saying in reality, you will find out that if you see Satan interfering in your life, you should be angry. Because the man that is trying to mess you up has been rendered ineffective. His power has been stripped. Come on. His power has been stripped. I love how Colossians 2:15, put it up. Colossians 2:15, put it. Ah, glory to God. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them. He spoiled them. What does he mean to spoil them? He stripped them, put up NLT. Then we'll go to the message. Look at NLT. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. So, Satan has been disarmed. That weapon that he has been taken from him. By next week, I will show you how Satan operates because the guy has been disarmed. There's a reason he's still running rampage on the earth. One of it, obviously, that people don't know, but I'm coming to that. He's been disarmed. Look at message. Look at message. Message said, he stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority. He stripped them. Satan has been stripped. All his authority, all his power has been stripped of him. How did that happen? By the cross. Hallelujah. Message said he marched them naked through the streets. Glory to God. So Satan, the one you are afraid of, has been stripped. You didn't hear me this morning. The one that has caused you sleepless nights has been stripped. The one that is holding villages ransom have been stripped. That's why when we go for missions, we come back with results. Because the one holding that land captive has been stripped of his power. It's knowledge. It's not that I don't believe that anybody, any believer should be afraid of the devil. His power has been stripped. Witchcraft has been stripped. You're not following me. That idol in your village, the power has been stripped. And that is the foundation of spiritual warfare.
You don't know it. You will always, you will, either you will fight forever. That's what it's going to be. Or you might even fight and get the victory and not know you've gotten the victory. Hallelujah. Somebody say the devil is defeated. I say the devil is defeated. Glory to God. He's been stripped. And as a matter of fact, you know, in Genesis 3 verse 15, immediately Satan came and caused riots on the earth. Right there, I told you, God is always ahead of the devil. Right there, God predicted his fall. I have a lot. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and he shall bruise thy head. Hiya. He said, thou shalt bruise his heel. He said, Satan, there is a seed that this woman is going to bring forth. That seed, you will bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head. You will bruise, he said, put up like NLT, but he will crush your head. Put up NLT quickly. NLT said, he will strike your head, he will strike his heel. So who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. How did he strike the heel of Jesus? By condemning him to the cross. He entered Pilate, entered Herod, and they said, oh, crucify him. They killed him. He was bruising his heel. So for everything that was done to Jesus on the cross, God said it's just a bruise on his heel. Should that encourage somebody this morning? For everything that was... Have you watched Passion of Christ? Have you watched that movie? Very terrible scene where the man was mad. His face was mad. He was messed up. He even went to send it into hell and all that. God said all of that is just his heel that was bruised. Well, that's how God sees the things you are passing through. Somebody's not hearing me this morning. That's how God sees what Satan is doing in your life. He's just scratching your heel. That's what he's doing to you. Just scratch. It's nothing serious. You are the one taking it too seriously. Are you following me, church? It's like my money has finished. Our family are passing through a lot. Well, he's just bruising your heel. He said, but you see, when you are done bruising his heel, when he's going to strike your head. Our attack on this devil is headshots. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Direct on the head. We're not going for the heel. And by Jesus is going to the cross, he crushed his head, struck his head, destroyed him, defeated him. You know, he was talking to the disciples in Luke 10 verse 19. He told them, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Luke 10. That's not verse 19, I think. Look for that verse. Verse 18. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I saw him. So the defeat of the devil has been prophesied already. David prophesied it also in Psalm 110 and verse 1. David prophesied. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. I will make your enemies your footstool. And that has happened already. In Christ Jesus. So Jesus won victory. And I never fail to remind you that this victory that he won, he did not win the victory for himself. He won the victory for us. Whenever you hear Jesus won victory, Jesus won victory, something that should come to your head is the fact that even before he won the victory, he has never been a slave of Satan. I get the point. Jesus is God. So he actually never needed that victory that he got. Come on, are you following me this morning? He didn't need it. He didn't need it. Amen. He did not need the victory. Because he, in his status, he is God. Satan has tried to mess up in heaven. He has been brought down. So it's not even today he won over. It has been long. So the victory he came to the earth to win was not his victory. It was your victory. Because if he didn't come to do what he did on the earth, he will be the only one that is triumphant over the devil. Are you following me this morning? So he came to win victory not for himself but for you. So you see scriptures like Mark 28 where he will tell them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Now that me is not talking about you. He's talking about him as God. As Jesus. All has given unto me. When he now finished, he now got to verse 19 and said, now because I have the authority, you should go into all the world. So in other words, saying the authority I have has empowered you to go. Because that authority, I didn't get it for me. I got it for you. Are you in church this morning? I didn't get the authority for me. I got it for you. So we see that the devil has been defeated. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19, Paul began to emphasize this again. So let's look at Ephesians 1:19. Everybody watch. And what is the greatness of his power to us world who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. So when he raised Christ, he set Christ at his own right hand. And I've taught you that right hand is not talking about, when you see right hand, it doesn't mean right hand as you know it. There are three persons in this place who came into this place and they've never prayed in tongues before. Somewhere in the midst of this service, the power of God is going to hit you and you're going to start praying in the Holy Ghost. Somewhere. So right hand does not mean right hand as in this is my left, this is my right. No, that's what it means. Right hand is a biblical term to explain the place of authority. So when you hear things like God is raising his right hand, he's talking about authority. He said, I will uphold you with my right hand. He's talking about his hand of authority. So he said he set him at his own right hand. Now, where is that right hand? We will see shortly. Next verse. Far above, you see, his authority is talking about here. Far above all principalities, principality and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named. Not only in this world, glory to God, but in that which is to come. Authority. Say amen, somebody. Every name that is named. If the idol in your village has a name, then God, Jesus, is seated above it. Aye, you're not following me. If that satanic attack has a name, Jesus is above it. Every name that is named. Every name that is named. Every name that is named. But that is not the exciting thing yet. By the time you now get to chapter 2 and verse 6, he now said, he has made us to sit together with him. So that place he seated that is far above all principalities and powers, he has made us to sit together with him there. So where I am sitting naturally is far above all principalities. Say, that's me, that's me, that's me. Where I am sitting is far above every disease. It's far above every devil. It's far above every challenge. It's far above every curse. Hallelujah. It's far above ancestral causes. If God permits me, I'm going to address ancestral causes somewhere within this month, if God allows me to do that. It's far above ancestral causes. Far above, I'm seated with him. So, the place of authority he occupies, we now occupy together. You see why it is strange for a believer to be afraid of the devil. When a believer is afraid of Satan, even Satan is laughing at that believer. Amen. He's laughing at him. So what's that one doing? He says he's afraid. He says, we have this one. Oh. This one is one of us. He doesn't even know that he's stronger. He doesn't even know. We have him. How many of you know you are seated with Christ in heavenly places? How many of you know you are seated with him far above principalities and powers? Do you know that? Are you sure? That should settle already in your head. And that's why I'm convinced that whatever satanic oppression that has existed in your life will not exist again from now.
Amen.
I say it will not exist again from now, from now, from now. From now. Whatever Satan has been using to harass you, the harassment has ended.
Amen.
I say the harassment has ended.
Amen.
I say the harassment has ended.
Amen.
Whatever Satan used to bring shame to your life has come to an end now.
Amen.
It has come to an end now.
Amen.
It has come to an end now.
Amen.
Why? You are seated far above. Hallelujah. Far above. Sit down for a moment. I have seen the devil oppress men. And the most painful of them all is when I see the devil oppress believers who are seated above. You know, the story was told, it's a parable. I've told the story here before, of how a farmer went to the farm and he saw the egg of an eagle. Have you heard that story before? So the egg of an eagle. And then he picked the egg and went to fix it with his bed. He has this chicken. So he mixed the egg with chicken's eggs and all that. And the chicken hatched the egg. And finally, when it was time, the eagle came forth. Now, when he was born, it was just very small, like every other chick. So they began to grow up. Of course, the eagle grew larger than all of them. But all its life, it has always known itself as chicken. So it will always scramble for food on the ground, just like the normal chicken, you know. It cannot fly above a certain height. It will just fly to the height of where chickens can fly to, and it will come down. Somehow we saw, well, I'm different from all these other birds. But well, we are all in the same family, so let's just be there. And that's how many believers see themselves. They don't understand. And so they grew. And one day, they went out to get food as usual. And then the mother eagle arrived. And was on the sky. And began to flap its wings towards that baby eagle. And for the first time, that eagle tried to flap its wings. And it saw, well, I can actually move further than this. And that mother eagle was telling, you don't belong down there. You belong up here. You don't belong with the chickens. Don't belong with the birds. We don't source for food on the ground. We are carnivores. That's what he was telling. You're behaving like every other person. That's not who you are. And then suddenly, for the first time, he began to flap its wings. And then he soared. And never came back to that place again. And that's what I'm doing for you this morning. To let you see that where you are, where Satan has been intimidating you, is not where you belong. You see why I have a problem with some kind of all-night prayers people make. And the purpose is because you are afraid of the devil. Every time we want to bind, want to lose, there's nothing wrong with binding and losing, and we're going to do that a lot. But when it becomes the central focus of all your prayers, I'm wondering whether you are now praying to God or you are praying to Satan. Because the mention of God, of Satan in your prayer, is even more than the mention of God in your prayer. Because you are afraid. I've shared that this time without numbers with you. That fear is a messenger of death. And so deal with fear. The devil is defeated. I said the devil is defeated. I said the devil is defeated. Ah, you have got to see it until he enters you. I said the devil is defeated. Let me ask you a question. Where is the devil? Where is the devil? Ah, let's show me again. Where is the devil? Woo, glory.
You know, there are some things that we used to say when we were small, and they are very correct. They said, and don't fall for ground though.
Where is the devil?
That's where he is. That's where he is. And don't just say it. It has to enter you. It has to affect your prayer life. It has to affect how you live your life. You know, I love how Paul dealt with that demonic girl. The girl was following Paul and saying, oh, these are servants of God. And they bring you the word of the Lord. Just regular talk. The funny thing is, from the first day she began to do that, Paul already discerned that this lady is not of God. She's operating a strange spirit. But left her. After she did it for many days. You know, that's to tell you, we don't cast out devils because we are afraid. You know what I'm saying? It's not because if I don't cast him out now, he will just destroy me. That's why we cast out devils. We don't bind the devil because we're afraid. I say it and I know it. I can keep the devil. The devil can operate around me. You see, I can put myself in a position where Satan can be around and he will not come to me. Yeah. So the lady was following Paul for long. The day Paul got angry, Paul just turned and said, hey, come out of her. Hallelujah. Look at 1 John 4 verse 1. Yeah, please. 1 John 4 verse 1. Woo! Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world, okay? Hereby know ye the spirit of God. I taught from this scripture last month, right? When I was teaching on recognizing the voice of God and all that, how to discern false prophets. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Next verse. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that they should come, and even now already is in the world. Now I'm reading verse 4. Watch. Ye are of God, little children. Say amen. Say I'm of God. He said you have overcome them. Now he didn't say you will. He said you have. Now listen. That is even before you prayed. It is not prayer that makes you overcome the devil. The Bible says you have overcome the devil. It is the victory Jesus won that made you overcome the devil. It's not your prayer. You are of God, you have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you. So right there where you are seated and you've not prayed for the past 3 days, you have overcome the devil. And I will show you what prayer does as we begin to wind, when we start winding down. You have. Now, he didn't say you will overcome the devil. What did he say? Look at the screen. You have got little children and have overcome them. Because greater is it that is in you. And that's why when you come to the place of prayer, where Satan is messing up around you, you are not coming to conquer the devil. Nah. Before that prayer happened, you have overcome. I believe the word of God. 1 John 2 verse 13. You have overcome. I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because you have known the Father. Verse 14. I have written unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men. I'm a young man. Now, I don't know what people make of this scripture. They say, well, it's about levels of spiritual growth. Well, even if it is, he's talking to the young men. Young men, upcoming spiritual people like us. Abi, I have written unto you young men, because you are strong. The word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. He didn't say you should. You have. You have. And so that wicked one has been defeated. That's why I'm talking about Satan this month. But I titled it defeated, for because you need to know who Satan is. He's actually defeated. I've taught you the most important information you need about the devil is that he's defeated. Should I say it again? You didn't hear me. Let me tell this side. The most important information you need concerning the devil is that he is defeated. You need to know it. That is the most important information you need. You don't need all information about 17 levels in the kingdom of darkness. No.
You just need to know that he's defeated. We don't need the details. He's defeated. And let that settle in your head. And you need to meditate on that throughout this week, throughout this month. Such that next time you see a sickness and you want to pray for the sickness, because sickness is from the devil, you don't second guess it. The man that is causing the sickness is defeated already. He that is messing things up in your family is defeated already. That's the truth. So when you now stand to pray, it's no longer, let's start fighting the devil and then we are doing whatever. No. That's why it's idolatry for people to want to pray or fight the devil in their term. And they begin to do a lot of crazy rituals. They bring candle, they bring soap, they bring zobo, they bring salt, they bring sugar, they're doing stuffs, they bring broom. What are all those stuffs? To fight a defeated foe. Are you following you? That is idolatry. That's what it is. They are worshiping idols. They gather soap, they gather this, they gather water, and you know the problem. They are Pentecostals. You know, we Pentecostals, we have a problem with Catholic Church. We say, oh, well, Catholic Church, they bow down to images. Oh, it's not good. And they say, no, we're not bowing down. We are honoring and all that. Now, we criticize them. And then when we want to pray, which one is worse? We now go and bring sand, broom, white clothes, egg. I get what I'm talking about. So, which is more idolatrous? Is it bowing down to... I get what I'm talking about. Is it kneeling before an image to pray? Or packing every... You say, this one represents... This. So, you go to a prophet and he gives you a list of what to buy to fight devil in your house. They chop you. It's your money that it. They give you a list of what to buy. Buy this, buy salt, buy 20 cartons of this. They say, I can't buy this. And they bring, let's buy it for you. And they come to your house. And are doing all of those. That's idolatry. To fight a defeated foe. So imagine Satan with crossing his hand like this, looking at two people. People are packing all this. They say, what are these people trying to do? Now imagine. The guy is David. He just crosses them. I think they are packing. Say, what are they coming to do this night? Is it me the one to fight all these things? And he's telling his demons, we are powerful. They are packing all these things to fight us. Something I can simply say, I can simply tell, don't cross this line. Don't cross these boundaries. There are many of you, by the third Sunday of this month, will have what I call family time to pray for you. Not your families at home. Some of you are going to, I'm going to teach you how to build a hedge around your family. That if you have your brothers that are not so prayerful, you can build wall around them. Hi, you're not fully what I'm talking about. Build wall and say, well, no matter what is happening, 1,000 shall fall by their right. 10,000 is the miracle of inclusion of mercy. Yeah, that's what it's called, inclusion of mercy. Such that this one is not too special, he's not even born again. But by mercy, I include this one into the covenant. I get the point. So the guy is not too spiritual. That's what some mothers do. Mothers use prayers to cover their children. The child is just stupid. He said nothing will happen to him. Mercy has included that one. It's not, I said mercy. Mercy means it doesn't deserve to be there. And many of you need to do it for your families. You need to do it. Put them in a place where Satan cannot reach them. And in me, amen. Now, in the Old Testament, there's something called City of Refuge. That if that pursuing, I'll show you that that's something. If they're pursuing you physically and you run and enter that city, that person cannot hurt you again. That's why I now understand the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and they are safe. That's what he's trying to illustrate. So you can put your family in that city of refuge. Why are you packing salt and packing sand and packing broom? Ibonye pisi.
Sit down for a moment. The first I saw broom in the place of prayer, I didn't understand why. Seven brooms. I said, everybody in the family, pick up one, pick up one. We are going to sweep out Satan. Hi. You rep this devil too much. You rep him too much. You rep him too much. So I asked the pastor, I said, if this is what you do when you want to bind the devil in a family, what if they had invited a native doctor? What will the person do? Are you following me, church? And if this is what you do, I'm saying this, I don't know why I'm emphasizing on this point. But many of you, if you are a victim of that, can start taking your money from them. And I don't even know why people will charge you money to come and do whatever in your house. If this is what you do, I say, so if invite a native doctor, he will first come, sit down, draw a line, bring out things from his back. That's the same thing you are doing. We are a kingdom of talkers. That's how we win. We talk. It's talk. We don't use chalk. We use talk. You like the rhyme, Shay? We don't do all this. Just bring chalk. You're drawing on the floor. You're doing whatever. And after, you just go around, go around. You can't learn from Elijah. They were doing, in the Old Testament too, they were doing all that they were doing. The man was sitting down taunting them. Baba no ba, he was taunting them. After they finished, look at what he said. He said, let's build an altar. Now, that's what some guys do. That altar they were building was a replica. What is an altar? A place where sacrifice is made. It's a replica of what Jesus did on the cross. So we have an altar already. Are you getting me? If only he did that, he just called unto the Lord and then. So that's when they are doing whatever. Just stand and be watching. Stand and watch. Stand and watch. When you are done watching, say, it's okay. In the name of Jesus, let this not happen again. You know, I used to pity some people. Some of these guys, I used to do magic on the road. They bring knife and are cutting themselves and all that. Don't do that. You are here more. You will cut yourself. It will bleed. I'm not taking no. It will bleed. He said, I'm going to drink this acid. It will not hurt me. If I come there, it will hurt you. Because once I stand there, my presence alone is enough to neutralize forces. And it's not what I say, it's what I know. We've entered shrines, they said you cannot enter. We run in and run out. They say, what else? An idol is nothing. An idol is nothing. Went to see a man that was constructing a shrine for his idol, and I hit the idol on the head, and the man got angry. I was trying to preach to him, and I told him, I said, is this thing? He said, leave my own God. I did not touch your own God. I said, is it this thing that's your? But the idol is funny. That particular idol was funny. Have you seen people that intimidate people? All these, when we were small, we used to have some of them that are taller than you. They just keep... That's what I said, is it this thing? He said, don't touch my, I left your own God for you. I said, well, you can't hit my God. That's the difference between us. Can't hit my God. I can hit your God. I can push your God. I can burn your God. You can't burn my God. You can burn our churches. You can't burn our God. That's the difference. Hallelujah. You can burn our churches. You can can take our Bibles and burn it. You don't even realize the Bible you are burning is not even the Word of God. The Word of God is living inside of me. I believe in the power of God. So where is the devil again? Under my feet. Now, that has to settle if you're going to start winning and all this warfare thing. But then you realize that even with all this victory, I'm going to draw a line for you now. Satan is still on rampage on earth. Now, the reason is because Satan is a trespasser. I've told you that a couple of times, right? Satan is a trespasser. First Peter 5, I think verse 8 and verse 9, tells us of how the devil is moving around seeking whom he may devour, a roaring lion. And so he has been defeated, and I'm going to show, explain this further next week. What he does is, first, for people who do not know that he's defeated, he's still scaring them. He walks with fear. I'll show you that next week. Look at, he walks as. So he goes around. People that don't know that he's defeated, he's operating in their life. And he's defeated, but he'll still come and try. Now, the secret is this. Since he's defeated, but he won't sit down. He'll still come to attack you. The mistake will be to ignore him. Mm-mm. Another mistake will be to exalt him too much. That's that extreme I showed at the beginning of this teaching. Do you remember? You can't ignore him and say, all I know is I defeated. Well, he's defeated. He'll still run riot in your life. Why? Because you left him. So what do? You confront him. What are you doing in confronting him? You are enforcing the victory that Jesus already given to you. That victory that Jesus has won for you, you confront him and enforce it. Let me show you something today before we close. Let me show you something. I want to show you because we're talking about satanic attack. I'd like you to see many people, when we talk about satanic attack, because I just want to drive this point home. I just says, Holy Ghost, I should just do that today and close. When people say, I don't believe Satan attacks believers, let me say something to you. Satan can attack a believer. Satan cannot possess a believer, but Satan can attack, oppress, and harass the believer if he lets him. And I want to show you what Satan wants to do on earth. I just want to talk to you a little about the activities of Satan on the earth and how we can win over him. Are you following me? This teaching will be a game changer for many of you. What Satan wants to do on the earth. Remember, he's defeated. But he's still moving around like a running lion. So that is something he's doing. I want you to see what he's doing so that you will know one by one what he wants to do. So that you can be able to identify that that's Satan operating there. Number one, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. The first assignment of Satan on earth is that he operates as the God of this world. He said, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shine on them. So the first thing he wants to do is he wants to make sure that people who are not saved do not come to the knowledge of the truth. Assignment number one. This one is his most important assignment. To make sure that people who are unbelievers, who are not saved, don't ever get saved. So how does he do that? He blinds their eyes. So you are trying to preach to the person, well, you need God, though. He's saying, I'm okay by myself. He is the God of this age. He has blinded the eyes, the mind of them that believe not. Are you looking at the screen? So where the light of the gospel, one of the ways he does it, for instance, he can either make sure they don't ever hear the gospel. That's you see, you go to preach to people, they're saying, no, can I talk to you? I say, I don't want to hear you. Let me even say to you, if you are here and you are not saved, that thing that always drives you away whenever they want to preach to you is the God of this age. That's his first assignment. That's why I tell you, every unbeliever is under serious satanic attack. Another thing he can do is you go to preach to them, he blinds their eyes, they argue with you from now to tomorrow. They say, oh, why is this one like this? Oh, why is that one like that? Just like seeing an atheist arguing that there is no God and there is no Satan, whereas Satan is making him say there is no Satan. How you get to the point? It is Satan that blinded his eyes to make him think there is no God, there is no Satan. I don't believe in all this God and Satan thing. That is the God of this world. He blinds their eyes that they will never come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the first assignment of the devil on the earth. So he's against the salvation of men. That is why, I don't know who has ever gone for mission work here. Maybe in a community. Let me see if you've ever gone for mission work. The kind of satanic attack missionaries face is heightened. Do you know why? They are countering Satan's most important objective on the earth.
Let me even say something to you. That is why on Saturdays, you don't want to come out of evangelism to come and preach. Yeah. Because Satan wants to make sure you don't step out to preach, because when you preach, people will be saved. So he finds a reason to keep you at home. Oh, my waist is paining me. I just woke up and I was just feeling dizzy. Dizzy. I was depressed. So I have not eaten. He finds a reason to keep you away. Finds a reason. You know, sometimes on Saturdays, when you want to come to evangelism, as you are getting dressed, your friend will just visit. That's the time that the person either has to go home or follow you to church. Because we don't see what the devil is doing. He does not want guys that are not saved to ever become saved. He doesn't want it. Ever. So he's going to fight their salvation. You know, when the Bible says in John chapter 10 verse 10, Jesus said, the thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that they might have life and have in abundance. So the thief comes to take life. Jesus came to give life. That life is not your physical life. He's talking about the life of God. So that thief is making sure that people don't ever receive life. Jesus is making sure that people receive life. So what is the agenda of Satan on the earth? To stop men from receiving life. Hallelujah. And I told you guys that way. Sometimes what we call real satanic attack is not actually the real attack. Those are just small, small things. The real attack of the devil, number one, is what I'm showing you. To make sure that people don't come to the knowledge of the truth. To blind their eyes. To make them not to see their need for a savior. To make them to detest the gospel. And I can even add, I'm coming to that shortly, to make sure you don't even preach that gospel. It's an attack of the devil. Because his greatest job is against Christ. Immediately he heard, the seed of the woman shall bruise it of the serpent. He began to look for that seed. When he finally found that seed, so oh, Christ is the seed, he killed him. When he now killed him, he didn't know that seed will rise. So now that he cannot do anything against the seed has died and has risen. He must make sure that people don't believe in what that seed has done. Assignment number one. That's why I want to say, that's why I tell people, evangelism is spiritual warfare. Now, write that up. Spiritual warfare is not only praying. When you go and you are preaching the gospel to someone, you are trying to snatch the person from the kingdom of darkness into light. That's warfare. You are trying to drag the person from darkness to light. That is warfare. Say amen, somebody. Amen. I said, say amen, somebody. Amen. That's warfare. They're trying to drag the person. Yeah, but let me add something. Another thing Satan wants to do on the earth, another major activity of the devil on earth, is to oppose ministry, to oppose the church, to oppose the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, to oppose your ministry. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 18. Everybody please look at the screen. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 18. He said, wherefore, we could have come unto you. This is Paul, the apostle of grace. Says, we could have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But what happened? Satan hindered us. So, Satan hinders the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that takes me back to what I said, that those days you want to come and preach, and something will just come to stop you from coming, it's full-blown attack. Now, if you check the story, it might have been that Paul wanted to come out, and maybe they put him in prison, or Paul wanted to come out, and he fell sick, or Paul wanted to come out, and there was, maybe they closed the borders. Now, Paul didn't give them the test. All he told them is that, all I know is that all those things that happened, the summary is that Satan hindered us. Are you in church this morning?
There is an attack. So every time the second Satan is doing on earth is to oppose the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to oppose the preaching of the gospel. He wants to oppose. That is why Satan is always attacking the church. Especially any church that is big on teaching God's word and big on evangelism. They're always on Satan's blacklist. He opposes ministry. And that's why if I were you, there is nothing that is going to stop me from preaching the gospel. Because everything that is trying to stop you is a hindrance of the devil. Amen. NLT said, we wanted very much to come to you. And I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. Wow. So Satan prevents men from going to preach. Are you following me this morning? Are you still in church this morning? Satan prevents men from going to church. He prevents men. You see what Paul told them in Romans 15 verse 30. He said, I beseech you. Now, he was pleading with them. I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers. Look at verse 31. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe. So what's he trying to tell them to do? Pray. There are men that do not believe who will want to hinder my going to Jerusalem to go and preach. Pray that I may be delivered from them. In other words, as I step out to preach, there's going to be satanic attack against that ministry. Pray that it doesn't succeed. Well, that's why you pray for your pastors. Because the pastors, we are on the front line of what God is doing. Every time someone is stepping out for the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, expect a satanic hindrance. He may not come as a black guy wearing clothes. That thing that is preventing you from the ministry is an attack of the devil. So Paul, in this case, Paul was talking about people. Men that do not believe. A pastor hits the street to go and preach. He said, as he was coming back, he was robbed. Men that do not believe. As he was coming back, some men gathered and wanted to shoot him. Men that do not believe. Because we are after souls. 3 or 4 years ago now, I finished preaching here in church in the evening. Thursday evening. And then I used to go back to Nsukka after service and all that. So as I was just coming very close to my house, we met a robbery incident. At first, the person that was with me, one of our pastors, was driving him. Then we got there. We thought they were security men. I said, just slow down. Let's say hi to them and know. But why are security guys here? This is my house. I don't see security guys here. As we wind down to say whatever, I say, clear, clear. And I don't know where the Holy Ghost puts that strength in him and his legs. And we turned back. One was standing. We climbed on his leg. Moved like that. That night, they killed someone at that same spot. That very night. Amen. Because Satan will want to hinder what you are doing. But we always win. I say we always win. That's where you realize that persecution is an attack of the devil. You know, this place we just read a few minutes ago, 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Put up 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Persecution is an attack of the devil. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Do you know what he's talking about in this case? It's persecution. How do you know? See the next verse. Next verse, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren over the world. See, in the same things you guys are suffering, all your brethren in the world that are suffering the same thing. What's he talking about? That's persecution. So how Satan was moving around looking for whom he made the fall in this case is that he was bringing persecution over believers all over the world. And that's why if there are persecutions around you, that is Satan trying to harass you and shut you up. And you must stand firm.
I say you must stand firm. Oh.
You're going to go and preach and that is happening. They're trying to shut you up. Your friends are laughing at you. That's a satanic attack. You know, because we need to realize, we don't say, Satan has never attacked me before. What are you expecting to see? Somebody pressing you in the night? No. You carry your Bible to God and laughing at you. Ah, hey. Yeah, now a church person. That's an attack of the devil. He wants to shut you up. They may not even know. Satan has many weapons. They are men. God has many weapons. They are men too. Are you following me, church? So you say, I'm going to go and preach, and they make mockery of you. They insult you. They talk you down. And yet you say, Satan does not attack me. Who? What do you think his attack is? Where he's going about looking for who he may devour, he's talking about persecution. So he's telling them, resist him steadfastly, because the same thing happening to you is happening to all your brethren all over the world. The same affliction that are passing through. So resist him steadfastly. So there is a satanic attack opposing ministry generally. Opposing ministry. Amen. But let me add one more thing. Let me follow the pattern. Let me follow the flow. Okay. Now, one other thing that the devil does, another activity of the devil on earth, is temptation. Now, temptation is not persecution. Temptation is being tempted to sin. You see, that time you are tempted to sin, or tempted to lie, or tempted to disobey, that is an attack of the devil. I'm trying to show you what Satan wants to do in your life. Be learning what I'm sharing with you. That's an attack of the devil. Because most times when we talk about satanic attack, the only thing that comes to people's mind is, I don't believe in all these fighting Satan. Well, that guy is being tempted to lie and tempted to steal. He doesn't know he's already under attack. What does he think satanic attack is? Somebody wearing black and white. Luke 22 verse 31 to show you very clearly that it is Satan that used to tempt you. Luke 22:31, and the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. You know he was talking to Peter. Satan is planning to sift you. How did this manifest? How did he manifest? He was tempted to deny Jesus. So, in the physical, what we saw is a person coming to meet Peter and asking Peter, are you part of Jesus' disciples? And Peter saying, no, I'm not part of it. In the spiritual, Jesus said, Satan is desiring to sift you as wheat. So, that time you are tempted to lie, to fornicate, to steal, to compromise, it is the devil attacking your life. Is it clear to everybody this morning? That's why. So what Satan wants to do is to tempt you. And eventually, because you know I've taught you here. Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you know the purpose of temptation? Do you know the purpose of temptation? What's the purpose? Talk to me. To make you what? Put up like James 1 verse 13. What is the purpose of temptation? Look at the screen. Because I'd like you to see what Satan is trying to achieve when he wants to tempt you. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he anymore. So he clears it. It is not God tempting anybody. You get the point? Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. That is, lust here is not talking about just lust or fornicate or whatever. It's just desire. He's pulled, when there is a strong desire, he's pulled away, he's put up like an NLT. Everybody please look at the screen. Amen. Temptation comes from your own desires, which entices and drags us away. So first there is a desire. Sometimes the desire is not even bad. Maybe you have a desire. Well, give me a good desire now. Let me use money now. You want to have money. It's a good desire. You want to have money. But he said the problem is when you are enticed by that desire, and you are drawn away. See the next verse. Now go back to King James. I'm coming back to this. Now, King James said, when lust, that is that strong desire, has conceived. So lust, we conceive. When that desire to have money, when it conceives,
What will he bring forth? Sin. So you now have a desire to have money. That desire now becomes very strong. And you now see, I can collect this person's money. Maybe through Yahoo or through Spirit, I can collect it. It has conceived. Now, see where I'm going to. So the first pose of temptation is sin, to make you sin. But that's not the end. When sin is finished, what does it bring forth? Death. Now, that's, this is where I want to focus a little. Now, when you see that sin brings forth death, it's not talking about spiritual death. Because the man in Christ cannot die spiritually again. He's alive forever. Is it very clear? So what is he talking about there? When he's talking about sin bringing forth death, let's see, look at how James explained death. In James chapter 5 verse 19, I don't have time for all of this, so just going to rush to this. James 5 verse 19, look at it. He said, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one converts him. He said, if someone is erring from the truth and you convert the person, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from what? Talk back to me. From what? What is that debt? And shall hide a multitude of sin. So, what he means by death is, the guy comes to a point where sin has conquered him, where he's now living a life of sin, he's now very ineffective in his life with God, in his work with God. That is what Satan wants to do to you with temptation. So, you see how Jesus told Peter. Jesus did not tell Peter, Peter, Satan wants you to sin. Mm-mm. Satan wants to sift you as wheat. So that sin he's making you sin is a means to an end. Are you following me, Chocho? Okay, let me see if you're following to this point. What does it mean to sift something like wheat? Huh? To do what? No. Forget figurative. What does it mean to sift like wheat? You know what it means? Give me an example. Have you ever processed gari in your life? Wow. Akam, pap. Aha. When you begin to sieve it, finally some go down and then the chaff remains. So he says, Satan wants to bring you to a point where he sifts you like wheat, where he removes the important things in your body and you're just chaff. Ineffective. That's what sin wants to achieve in your life. So when you lie, listen carefully. When you tell a lie, sin has not won. If you can stop and change. Do you understand? Now, when you tell a lie and then you continue, Satan is having his way. And brings you to a point where you are now sifted like wheat, are now ineffective, there is nothing else to you. Your church, you can no longer come. Prayer, you can no longer pray. Evangelism, he's winning. Who did Satan do that to in the Bible? Judas. Sifted him like this. The guy became ineffective and went and killed himself. Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. So where there's a temptation to sin, it's an attack of the devil. My point is, you don't need to see Satan with Cain. That, what does that tell you? If what I'm sharing now is true, it tells that every time of the day, you are being attacked by the devil. Is it not true? Because every time of the day, you know, that he's a full-time Satan. He's trying to get you to do one thing or to do one thing. He's trying to achieve that man that will become ineffective. Look at what Peter told Ananias in Acts 5 verse 3. When Ananias came and lied and said, oh, I sold this land for this. Read with me, everybody. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? So who made Ananias lie? Satan. Come on. Are you in church this morning? Yes, sir. Satan. So it was Satan that made Ananias lie. So as far as Ananias was concerned, I just decided, I just reasoned with my wife, Sapphira, and said, what if we just say we sold this for this? We also, let's just tell that smaller. To them, they had a conversation. Peter discerned it by the Holy Ghost and said, it was Satan that filled your hearts to do it. Now, you can begin to see every temptation sin as a satanic attack. And make sure it doesn't win. Okay, let me put it this way. That temptation to gossip about that brother is a satanic attack. Say amen. Amen. That temptation to hate on that sister is what? Uh-huh. Should I add some more? Huh? That temptation to wear skimpy things as a girl. Yeah. You are being harassed by the devil. Now, that's the point. We don't see it that way. Don't say that. So I just woke up, but that's what I want to wear today. Well, it's a satanic attack. Even children know that you cover yourself. When they start getting to CCA 7 years, you try to bait them outside. They say, no, no, no. When they start getting to 8, 9 years, the girl child, the father wants to enter where she's changing her clothes. Say, daddy, please go, remove your eyes. Children know. That same child now grows to 18 and will now decide to dress up half naked and says, that's my preference. It's my body. Yeah. If you try to stop me, what are you doing? Leave me. That's what I like. That's what fits me. You're under an attack. You are heavily attacked. Satan is after your life. And if you let the devil, he will never stop. When God showed me what I'm sharing with you, I decided that every temptation to sin is Satan attacking me. It became very clear to me. It's Satan attacking me. Once you begin to feel that pressure, Satan is around the corner. Amen. Well, let's see a few more things, then we close today. Have you been blessed? The next agenda of the devil is that Satan, and this is one of the most important, he wants to deceive. He's a deceiver. He wants to deceive you. And if you miss what I'm going to share now, you might have missed everything I want to teach you today. John 8:44. Because there are two, I've mentioned many things, but there are two most important things. Three, actually. Number one, I've talked about Satan stopping salvation of men and opposing the ministry. Very important. The third most important one is what I'm sharing with you now. Jesus told them, you are of your father, the devil, not you. And the loss of your father, you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. So what does he call the devil? What does he call the devil? When did he start murdering? When is the beginning? Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Who did he murder? Adam and Eve. How did he murder them? Now, I want you to see, God told them, if you eat of these three, you are going to die. So what did Satan do? He was a murderer from the beginning. See the next phrase. And abode not in the truth, that because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So what did he do to Adam and Eve? He went to them and lied to them. So by lying to them, he murdered them. Come on. Are you in church this morning? So what is one of the most important things Satan wants to do on earth and is doing currently is that he's a liar. He's a deceiver. He lies, he deceives. He feeds you with lies. He picks what God has said to you and he tells you it is not true. God says, oh, you are righteous. He tells you, well, you're a sinner. That is an attack of the devil. This attack is even more powerful than sickness. He picks what God has done and he's telling you, oh, that's not true. Oh, did God say that if you should not eat any of this tree? He said, forget it. God knows that if you eat it, you become like him. Don't mind what God is saying. I have something else to present to you. That's the devil, a liar. Amen. He comes to you.
It makes you feel worthless. That feeling of worthlessness, anything you hear, hear this, anything you hear in your heart that contradicts what God's word has said concerning you is a lie of the devil. And it's a satanic attack. Are you here? Everything. Let me touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, are you following this morning? Now share with that neighbor one very big thing that God has said concerning you from his word. Now, very important. Share with that person. One big thing God said concerning you. God said you are righteous. God said you are seated with him. God said you are holy. God said you are sanctified. God said you are forgiven. God says you have overcome. God says you are walking in divine health. God says you are living in health. God says you are in liberty. You are free. God says you are not defeated. He says you are victorious. He says no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. God says you have overcome. He says you are righteous in him. He calls you blessed. Everything you hear that is contrary to any of these things is Satan attacking your life and your destiny, your generation and your future. And I wish this thing can make sense to you. Every time there is that voice in your ear telling you nonsense. Do you hear it? That voice that was always telling you, you're going to fail this exam. So what if you start all this? You've come to church, you have prophesied. This month is for advancement. In fact, I should say that to somebody again. You are advancing this month. That you've come to church, you've heard all of that. And then you go back to try your hands on something. And there's a voice telling you, what if? What if you don't do well in this? Now, you don't yet see it as an attack of the devil. Because you're expecting that one day Satan is going to walk into your room and say, I am Satan. Those times it's talking to you in your mind, you are failing this exam. Bet me if you pass. He is a liar. In fact, when he's speaking of his lie, he's speaking of his own. You know, put up message. Message is very interesting. Message. Please watch message. He says, let's start from the. He said he couldn't stand the truth because there wasn't a shred of truth in him. When the liar speaks, he makes it up out of his lying nature. So it is in the devil to lie. I think it's amplified. The translation has said that when he speaks, he's speaking his natural language. Nyash. Woo, glory. He's a liar. He deceives. He manipulates. What did he do to Eve? 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3 tells us that he beguiled Eve. Sit for a moment. Because I'm going to have you to pray. And I'm just stay prayed up under your breath because I saw the Holy Ghost coming out. He beguiled Eve. Probably like NLT. Everybody look at the screen, everybody. Let's read together. I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted. Just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. So Satan is a deceiver. He tries to deceive. He tries to oppose what God has said concerning you and said to you. He's the devil. That's how you operate. We know him. Sometimes when people come to me in my office and are talking, all I'm just hearing in my heart is, this one has been paying attention to Satan. You know, that's what Eve did. Eve gave about 5 minutes audience to the devil and it altered the course of the whole human race. So he comes to your ear. He's whispering things. You are a liar. You will not make it. You will break down. The thing is that you are actually depressed. Do you hear those voices sometimes? You are depressed. He had a megibo depression. Just a little pain at your back. Paralysis is coming. He's lying to you. What if at your 40, you now start using glasses. And before 50, you go blind. He's lying. That's the voice. He's a deceiver. He's going against everything God's word has said to you. Ephesians 6 verse 10 tells us that we should put on the whole armor of God. And watch what he says about the whole armor of God. Please pay attention. He says that ye may be able to stand against what? Stand against what? The wiles of the devil. Not his power, his wiles. What does wiles mean? Deception. NLT uses strategies. Proverb Amplified. Okay, GNT uses tricks. He's a deceiver. Amplified says the strategies and the deceits. That's Satan's assignment. So the man is defeated, but then he comes to your mind and he's telling you lies, just lying to you, telling you a lot of crazy stuff. You're a bad person. It is not people like you that get good things. If they say 10 people failed in the department, somehow it says you can be one of them. Out of 200 people, 10 failed, and it's you. And the foolish thing is you begin to pay attention to those lies. You don't know it's already running riot in your life. Second Corinthians 11:14 tells us that Satan has disguised himself as an angel of light. That's what he does. Hallelujah. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So he comes to you and can I add something to you? Some of these lies come from the pulpit. It comes from men of God, in quotes. They try to tell you who you are not in Christ. That they try to show you who God has not made you. That's lies that are lying to you. And that's an attack of the devil. And then a few more things that Satan will do. Satan wants to afflict your mind. He's taking what I'm saying now with guilt and condemnation. One of the major attacks of the devil is to fill people's mind with guilt and fill their heart with condemnation. I will expand on these things I'm saying next week. To fill your heart with guilt, to fill your heart with condemnation. Paul, you know, that's 2 Corinthians 2 from verse 6. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. Let me give you the background of the story. He had written to them already in 1 Corinthians. There was a brother who was living in sin. The sin he was living in was so big in your eyes. What was the sin? The guy had his father's wife. That was bad. It wasn't just fornication or adultery. It was incest of the highest order. Now, Paul got angry about that and corrected them and told them you should frown at what this guy is doing. The church should discipline this guy. And of course, they disciplined him. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, he now wrote back to them. And this is very instructive to somebody this morning. Now, put up like NLT. Please, everybody watch closely. He said, most of you opposed him. And that was punishment enough. So when people go wrong in the local church, we don't pat their back. Maybe if I'm a pastor and somebody's messed up and I discipline the person, you don't go around and begin to tell the person, don't mind pastor. Pastor just likes shouting at somebody. You don't do that. He said most of you opposed him. So when Paul pronounced that judgment, they opposed the guy. He said it was okay. He said, now, however, it is time to forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, he may be overcome by discouragement. Continue. Watch this. So I urge you now to reaffirm your love for him. Verse 9, quickly. I wrote to you as I did to test you and see if you will fully comply with my instructions. When you forgive this man, I forgive him too. When I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit. And verse 11 is where I'm going to. Pay attention. So that Satan will not outsmart us. For we are familiar with his evil schemes. What are the schemes he's talking about here? To fill that young man with guilt and condemnation and get him discouraged. So that thing that when you make mistakes, even after God has reassured of his forgiveness, you are still living in that guilt, that condemnation is Satan's trick. Are you following me, church? Guilt is an attack of Satan. Condemnation is his attack. The Bible tells us that godly sorrow leads to repentance. if someone makes a mistake and decides to change, that is very necessary. No believer should make a mistake and celebrate, oh, thank God I made a mistake. That means you're not a believer. But then, when that is gone, to stay down with guilt, feeling condemned, feeling terrible, feeling like God hates you, feeling like you're a sinner, feeling like God don't accept you again, Satan is now after your life and your ministry, your destiny. Now, do you see what I'm trying to show you? I'm coming to where we're going to pray. But this is what I'm trying to show you. Most of the things we see as big satanic attacks, things like sickness, things like appearances at night, are not actually his big plans. I will say more on this next week. His big plans are in your mind. That's why next week I'll get into spiritual warfare proper. And we're going to start from the mind. His big plans is guilt. His big plans is temptation. His big plan is condemnation. His big plan is trying to to fill you with sorrow and guilt. Are you following me this morning? There's something else the Lord said I should add. If I said the last thing, he said I should talk about disorder. Wherever there is disorder, because another agenda of the devil on earth is to bring disorder, disorderliness in families, in the church, in organizations. Let me say this to you. If you are in a family where there is always fight, the mother doesn't want to listen to the father and the children are quarreling, there is a strong satanic attack in that home. You don't need to see him appear. Are you following me? James 3:15. This wisdom, there's a wisdom he's talking about, descended not from above, but is earthly, is sensual, and is devilish. What kind of wisdom is that? Where envy and strife is, there is confusion at every evil work. Where you see envy, you see strife, you see confusion. That is said devilish wisdom. It's an operation there. That is what it does to relationships. That is what it does to families. That is what it does to marriages. That is what it does to churches. You come to a church, the way we think a church is under attack is if we come into the church and somebody's a witch is confessing, and they sent us from the coven, from level 888, to come and kill the pastor here. We sent accident to his car, but he survived it. That's what we think is satanic attack to a church. You see that church where members are fighting their pastors. Satan is an attack of the devil there. That church where leader and leader are fighting, we will not talk to each other. We will fight. I won't take that. Ephesians 4:26. For you are glorious and worthy to be praised. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Why? Verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. So when there is disorder, there is anger, there is quarrel, there is fight, we have given place to the devil. So there are many departments in church, hopefully not in this church, where Satan is heavily attacking. There are families, this is what has broken families to shreds, to pieces. They think Satan is attacking them when there is sickness upon their child. They don't know that sickness that came upon that child, they opened the door for that sickness when they began to fight and attack each other. Hey, Korata Taya Sakula. I will say more later. Pay attention. You see, disorder, confusion, strife, that thing is Satan pro max. If he's in any, no matter the miracles happening in a church where there is disorder, your assistant pastor is telling the pastor, you cannot tell me what to do.
that church. Satan is having a free day in the church. They can gather and be binding every demon. He's just smiling. Let me say the last thing. Of course, this is the one you're waiting for. And the one many people know. Another agenda of the devil on the earth. And this is the last one. Is affliction. Affliction. Talk of sicknesses. Talk of diseases. Talk of lack. Talk of challenges. I'm not saying Satan doesn't do these things. I'm saying there are many other things he does apart from this. But these two. There are many people that have been attacked. Next 2 weeks, I'm going to show you how to know that, you know, that how to decode and discern when there is already strong satanic oppression in your life. But there are many people that have been oppressed, but they don't know they're oppressed. They're still making excuses. Physically oppressed, but they don't know. You see a believer, he rises, gets to a certain point, everything fails. He tries again to a certain point, everything fails. He repeats again and again. He's not wise. He doesn't know he's already under attack. He's still making excuses. There is oppression. A believer lives an entire year, 365 days. He spends 200 days or 250 days in the hospital with the doctor. He doesn't know there's an attack upon his life. That is affliction. And Satan brings affliction. Luke 13 and verse 19. Jesus said clearly about a woman who was being oppressed. He said, not this verse. He was talking about a woman that was oppressed. She was bent over. And Jesus said, ought not this woman who is the daughter of Abraham, who has been oppressed of the devil these 18 years, Satan put an oppression on her, and she was bent over like this for 18 whole years. 18 whole years. 18 whole years. 18 whole years. Satan is a wicked Satan. Wherever you see affliction, it is the devil. Don't even ask questions. He's there. So sickness. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So Jesus healed men oppressed of the devil. So there is such a thing as satanic oppression in like sickness. Everywhere you see an affliction. What's an affliction? Anything that used to afflict you. Anything that used to make life uncomfortable for you. Can I talk to some of you that are married? Say amen. Your wife or husband can be an affliction to you. That's why you don't marry someone Satan suggests for you. Because he can plant a perpetual affliction into your life and you will die. And I was talking to my people yesterday. There are men of God that I know that their ministry was cut short because Satan planted an affliction in their life. One of those men is a very great man in this country now. Satan planted a powerful affliction in his life in the person of a wife. For years, this man can finish going out to preach and come back and face wahala. He kept complaining to his spiritual father. So one day, the spiritual father is not Pastor Henry. He just looked at the woman and said, "Madam, if you don't leave this man alone, God will take you out of the way to preserve his ministry." She didn't hear. 2 weeks after, she died. Affliction. Anything that makes life uncomfortable for you, that's an affliction right there. Can be sickness. Can be lack. Lack is an affliction. It can be an affliction. I understand that there is lack that comes from laziness. Do you understand that part? Somebody just lazy, is not working. I'm not even going to pray for you. But there are situations you see someone, the person is working hard, crossing all the T's and dotting the I's, doing everything that needed to be done, yet sometimes you need the hand of God upon you. You know, Isaac told Esau, I have given your brother all the blessing that I wanted to give you. But it shall come to pass that when you shall grow restless, when you grow restless, Esau, you will throw this yoke off your neck. In other words, Esau, there is no blessing for you. You are destined for a curse. But any day you get tired of your situation, this yoke will go. Any day you are tired of this situation, in other words, even if you are laboring under a curse, you can come to a point and decide that enough is enough. And you do it in the place of prayer. That's why there are people that are suffering. It's not that they be praying, they are preaching. They're explaining Bible. The word curse is the Greek word. See, let me tell you. When you see affliction, you don't preach to affliction. James said, is enough if you're afflicted? Let him pray. James 5:13, if you're afflicted, pray. If you're afflicted, stop saying, oh well. You know, the word for affliction is the word afflixo. It's from the root word, affli. You know, I teach with Greek and Hebrew, because I'm not mocking it. I'm saying sometimes, just pray. Come into a home where things are just, Satan is running, having he's in a free day, enjoying his life, driving like a madman in the family, and they're just watching. Amen. Someone was in my office recently, and I told her just by the Holy Ghost, I said, there is something. Now, you may not have seen me in that mood, but it's fine. You see, there is something about female children in your family. They don't ever cross a certain limit. I don't know our family very well. I said, no, I'm talking about your certain family. And she gave me other details. Said, it's actually true. That's an affliction of the devil. That's why I'll touch ancestral curse. If you don't like it, that they don't come, but I'm going to touch ancestral curses, and I'm going to show you how to deal with it, because there are ancestral curses. But if you don't believe there are ancestral curses, you're either not in the world or you're denying reality. Do you understand me? It shouldn't affect the believer, and I will show you how it will not affect you, but it exists. For the mere fact that someone, a child, a father can have eye problem, and the children grow to that age and begin to have eye problems, so it shows you that there is something there. Have you not seen it happen? A father has diabetes. When the child grows, it begins to have the same diabetes. They say it's in their bloodline. That's what I'm saying now. That's the medical way of saying it. Do you understand the point? That's the medical way of saying it. It's bloodline. I'm down telling you what it is. You go in sooner or later. There are patterns. Satanic patterns. Because God operates with patterns. Satan too operates with patterns. Do you understand? Talking about the supernatural, for instance, the miraculous. If you just see how it is done, you can copy it. Do copy and paste. And go and put it another place. It will work exactly that same way. Have you observed? If I raise a cripple now, you can carefully observe how I did it. Copy it like that and go and paste it elsewhere. Another cripple will work. There are patterns you can observe in the spirit. That same way, when you begin to see, you know, you get to a family. I go to a family, I've shared with you many families. You see a family, men are graduates. All of them in their 40s. They can't boast about anything. And one of them is there doing, I'm a cultist. Mumu doesn't know that Satan is frying a cry with his head. Is that a cultist? Nobody they cross here. That's how it's going to go down. I've seen it all over the place. I told one, I said, this teen Mary now. You should be looking for the answer to your family problem. You are here misbehaving. So there are afflictions. Can a believer be afflicted? Yes. Should a believer be afflicted? No. But can a believer be afflicted? Yes. So when he is afflicted, what should he do? He should realize that he is not supposed to be afflicted, and he should now refuse to be afflicted. And it's by prayer. So you see sickness, you see lack. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You see lack, you see sickness. If I let me just show you one last thing about this affliction thing. Have you been blessed? Job chapter 1. Job. You know Job now. It was last night the Lord said to me, you've preached on the book of Job, but there is something you've missed in the book of Job. He said, in that book of Job, I showed you already see the activities of the Satan, of Satan on someone's life. Immediately God told Job, God told Satan, well, you can tempt him, but you cannot touch his soul. Exactly the point. Satan now came. Look at from verse, see verse 12. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all he has is in thy power, only upon himself, put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. See verse 13, everybody, please watch. The man here question acquiring men are your life, so that you may know. Because some things we call coincidences are satanic attacks. Now, remember, the first part of the book of Job, from verse 9, happened in the spirit. That conversation between God and Satan, Job did not see it. Nobody saw it. Is that correct? So all we know that one day on the physical, this thing began. What happened? His sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the ass is feeding beside them. And they go back to verse 14. Put up like, verse 13 rather. Put up like NLT so you can understand it. I will sing unto the Lord a joyful song. I will pray. I don't know why that song is coming to my spirit. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the oldest brother's house, and suddenly arrived at Job's home with this news. Your oxen were plowing. This is his business. The guy had companies. Your oxen were plowing, with the donkeys feeding beside them. When the Sabians raided us, they stole all the animals and killed all the farm hands. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. Such a bad day. Coincidence. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. The fire of God, this one even added fire of God, has fallen from heaven and burnt up your sheep and all the shepherds. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. You see how they misrepresent God. We already see that it was Satan doing this thing. This one said it's the fire of God. While he was still speaking, a third messenger arrived with this news. Three bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants. So his companies were going down. Going down. That's Satan's affliction. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. Your sons and daughters were feasting in their oldest brother's home. Come on. Suddenly, a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed, and all your children are dead. Let me tell you, there are things you see. And you see the finger of Satan. You can see fingerprints. Are you getting what I'm talking about? You can see his fingerprints all over your family. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. There is authority in Christ Jesus. But an authority you did not exercise is like an authority not present. I mean, if you have gun that can kill, if you don't shoot it, it cannot kill. You're not getting what I'm talking about. So you have gun that can take someone down, but you just keep it and be smiling. That's why we're messing up. We have power. We are seated with Christ above principalities and powers, far above. I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. I saw him, and that's why I'm not going to let him. Your adversary, the devil, walketh around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resisted firstly. The answer to Satan is resistance. I will say, touch this next week. that part of that resistance and majority of that resistance is in prayer. Do you know, I realize, friends, that prayer can handle any satanic attack, even if it is a temptation. When Peter was about being tempted to sin, what was Jesus' prescription? Watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. So if a man is living a prayerful life, the man will not fall into temptation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Prayer. When you see nonsense in your life, don't smile. There are things that happen, and I'm going to come to families next 2 weeks. Things that happen, and we excuse it on with medicine. See, there's a medical condition in our home. It's asthma. It's happening to everybody in our house. And everybody in our house will use glasses. That's how all of us are. You know, for Ake Queens all over the place. You see the fingerprints of Satan all over a man's life. And his. I go to mission works and I see things that break my heart. You saw the two guys that came here 3 years away. Same family. Two people have that situation. Now, that cannot... Now, if the first one is just coincidence, you know, made a mistake during the birth, the second one too. Jesus shall reign. We'll take that song shortly. I'll show you a last scripture. Please stand to your feet. Before that, James 4 verse 7 said, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. Do you know, we're going to pray more next week because I want to close you now, but I want to leave you with an encouragement. Romans 16 verse 20. Stand to your feet. Resist the devil. I've shown you all his activities, what he wants to do in your life, but don't let him win. Romans 16 verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Now, Satan is already under our feet. But this particular church, they were passing through a lot of temptation, a lot of persecution, a lot of issues. So Paul is telling them, Satan is defeated, but experientially, it shall not be long in that thing you are passing through. The God of peace shall bruise Satan. Put up like NLT. It's been ringing in my head since last night. Put up like NLT. The God of peace shall bring Satan under your feet. The God of peace shall bring Satan under your feet. The God of peace shall bring Satan under your feet. The God of peace will soon crush Satan. He said, but Satan is crushed already. Yes, that's Paul talking. He knows. He's talking about in this particular challenge you are facing now. The God of peace is going to bring Satan experientially under your feet. I don't care what it is. The God of peace will bring Satan under your feet. We will pray. I don't know what your family is passing through, but it shall not be long. And don't miss a word in that particular verse. What's the word? Soon. We're not going to pray for 3 years. We won't pray for 6 months. We won't pray for 3 weeks. Soon. And even now. So if there is a challenge, it will not be long. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. It shall not be long. Deborah. Message said that the God of peace will come down on Satan with both feet, stomping him into the dirt. And I said, enjoy the best of Jesus. Glory to God. We are not afraid because we will never know defeat. Here and now. Here and now,
we're the light, we're as free as the light, like the rays of the sun.
and the world is got to follow.
We are not afraid.
We are not afraid. Cause we will never ever know defeat.
Say here and now, sing
here and now.
We are the light.
We are the light.
Yeah,
we are as free as the light.
Like the rays.
Like the rays.
Of the sun.
Of the sun. Running through every corner. We are up ahead. And the world is got to follow.
And we are not afraid, dude.
We are not afraid. Cause we will never ever know the fear.
We are the generation.
We are the generation. We live ahead of our time.
We live in this world.
We live in this world. But by the power of the age to come.
Woo. Listen. Bring it down. Listen. We came. We don't fight the devil to win him. We fight the devil because we have won him. The only mistake is to ignore the devil. When he made it, we are it.
Jesus, Sharon, their son. Thus his successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore till moon shall rise and wait.
Let's do it again. Sing it again.
Jesus shall reign. Successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more.
To him shall endless prayer. Shall rise with every morning sacrifice. People are rams of every tongue. Dwell on his love with sweet death song.
Yes, 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 yes.
And if I'm shall proclaim their heavenly blessings on his name.
Blessings above their
heads. This is the verse I wanted to see.
The prisoner lives on loose his chains.
Something. I wanted to pick one. We are going to come to general prayers later in this teaching. Pick one area of your life where you found satanic interferences. I'm going to give you 5 minutes and you're going to tell the devil to go. You know where you are seated, right? So from where you are seated, tell him to go. I get the name. From where you are seated, thank you, Holy Ghost. From where you are seated in Christ, thank you, Holy Ghost. You can tell him to go.
I talked about bullies, and I'm hearing it in my spirit again. I saw it this morning, where a bully was oppressing someone, a group of people. They were running and running, and then suddenly, for me to turn back, the bully has been captured. In fact, he was stripped. He was a physical person, only on his boxers, and he was being embarrassed all over the place. There are people who are being bullied, families being bullied by satanic forces, men like demons and demons like men. Now, those plans should be frustrated. Are you getting me? We will frustrate their plans. You know, Paul went to preach, and one guy was just talking nonsense where he was preaching. He looked at him and said, "You'll be blind for a season." A season, small little blindness just for a season. I love the power of God. I have the power of God. I use the power of God. It's not just in me for whatever. If there's any area of your life, Satan will always come. Do you know there was a time I began to notice last year? There was heavy satanic interference in my finance. I wasn't broke, but I know that I should have more money than I have now. And when I began to sense that, I began to pray. In less than 2 days, I began to get different calls. Things like, "Sir, I've been planning to send money to you for the past 2 weeks. It's not going. More than 5 to 7 people." I said, "See, this is trouble." I said, "Try it again now." So I've been trying. One day said to me, I was looking for your number. I now lost your number on my phone. I was just looking for you to chat you up to ask for your account number, but I couldn't find up for weeks. I don't even know what I was pressing now, and your number just came up again. It's okay now, home. Look at the relationship. I'm not blind. I'm not a stupid Christian. I told you, we are not supposed to live life as victims on earth. If you do anyhow, you will see anyhow. That's what I say. Stand, you interrupt me. Intercept me. I'm going to stop you. Some of you are struggling with your health more than is normal. You treat this one, you treat the next one. You treat this one. What is even wrong with you? Are you the only one that knows where drugs are found? Many doctors, you now working in divine health. You are patronizing them. For the past 8 months, what this to that, that to this, with different excuses. If there's any area of your life where you find the devil messing up, do you know there are some of you, as I begin to progress, some of you will see visions on by third of this teaching. Some of you will see where your family would have been. And there are 3 persons that have seen that. You've seen visions of where your family should have been by now, but you guys are not there now. Lift your voice. Let me have you pray. Just pray. Any area of your life where you find the devil interfering or messing things up, pray. I have a serious warfare service for you. Third Sunday of this month. I'm going to pray some prayers you've not heard me pray before. But it's fine. Just pray. Be specific. Address what you want to address. The devil, take your hands off my finance, take your hands off my health, take your hands off my family, take your hands off this. That is how to do it.
Ogwa haruoy, onye kere eke nwere onwe ya, onye buru isi ahụ ụzọ, onye ihe na-esiri ike dịrị n'ụ ya mfe. Haya! Ebube gị bata n'ebe kere ọgwụ chimo, asị m ọgwụ aha rụọ. I'm hearing that in my spirit. Onye kere eke nwere onwe ya, onye kụrụ isi ahụ n'ụzọ, onye ihe na-esiri ike dịrị n'ụ ya mfe. Aya! Ebube gị bata n'ebe kere ọgwụ chi, ọgwụ aha rụọ. Onye kere eke nwere onwe ya, aya! Onye kụrụ isi ahụ n'ụzọ, onye ihe na-esiri ike dịrị n'ụ ya mfe. Take your hands off. Take your hands off. You found death, you trespasser. Take your hands off. 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 Take your hands off.
Jesus, onye mere.
Aye.
Sozogi.
Spirit in this place. Many of you are breaking loose. I'm sitting the Holy Ghost. Some of you are breaking loose. At the count of seven, number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven, break loose. Break loose. Break loose. There are even pastors, there are ministers, there are leaders, there are God's people that are under afflictions. Break loose from that oppression. Break loose from that oppression. Break loose from that oppression. In the name of Jesus. Laboring under what some people refer to as a near success syndrome. You get very close, but the thing eludes you. You get very close, the thing slips off your hand. In the name of Jesus. Satan. Is enough. It's enough. It's enough. Let this one go now. In the name of Jesus. I put an end to it. 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 There is a strange spirit I'm seeing. I thought I was going to pray about this last week. There's a strange demonic spirit I'm seeing. I thought this was going to be next week, Holy Ghost, but straight demonic spirit. Depression. Harassments of the mind. Harassing your mind and your emotions.
You've been down for a long time. You've excused on many things. Now, listen, I'm not going to take this. Let these ones go. Let these ones go. That thing that comes as heaviness of hearts all the time, heaviness of heart, depressing moments. You can't move, you can't make progress, you just sit. What now? Listen, I lift that thing off you. Come out of them now in the name of Jesus. Loose them, let them go. Out, out in the name of Jesus. If you are here and your family labors over a certain pattern of deaths that happens around the same time and in the same way, raise your hands. I want to pray for you. Sense that strongly in my spirit. A certain pattern of death happens at the same time, in the same way, the same method. It has happened once, it has happened twice. That's happened the third time. There are like two persons that are like that here. You see, do you know there is a family? We come to many. There is a family that God is showing me my spirit as I'm talking. It's a repetition of bad marriages. No matter how they marry, it must turn out badly. From person to person. There is one of them that is here. You're not married yet, but it's a pattern you've seen in all your siblings. It always turns out badly. Always turns out badly. Now, men of God, listen to me. Ministers, pastors, we are called to be teachers of the word. Are you listening? But we must also make sure that we don't allow the devil to trespass. If not, the things that you are teaching your people, they cannot handle it experientially. You teach them divine health, and that is it. The Bible said you cannot go into a strong man's house and plunder his house unless you first bind up the strong man. So you are teaching someone how to walk in divine health, whereas there is a demonic spirit holding down his health somewhere. So the guy will do all the confession, but he will still be down there. I've seen what I've seen. Families, I think the family I talked about is you. Abby, yes. Let them go now. I will have a serious warfare next Sunday against the spirit called fear. The spirit called fear. The spirit called fear. The spirit is called fear. The spirit is called fear. I'm seeing him as a personality walking around. There are people I see in the spirit, and I'm saying this literally, Holy Ghost help me as I'm seeing it. They're standing, and I see standing beside them a personality. And I was asking the Lord, who is this guy standing beside? He said, it's fear. He follows them everywhere they're walking around. Everywhere. The thing follows them up and down. And there are two persons I'm talking to. Sometimes you can almost feel that personality standing around you. I don't know who am I talking to. You can almost feel that personality standing around you. You can almost feel it. Sometimes you won't feel like there's something. That demon, that personality called fear. Father, that oppression has ended now. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Out. Out. See, let them go out. Out in the name of Jesus. Out. See, we're going to wage a serious warfare against the spirit of fear. This month, we are going to advance. And some of you, it is just the fear that is taking you at the spot. I see cripples in the spirit, crippled by fear.
sitting on wheelchairs in the spirit. And I'm not saying this thing. I'm telling you what I see in the spirit. On which I was asking, what has crippled them? That same fear. And it keeps them around a certain status quo. Don't miss such this month. Please remind me everything I'm saying now, okay? Because we're going to wage war against status quo at a point. There's a spirit of average. Are you following me this month? There's a spirit of average. An average church, an average ministry, average money, average success, average in class, average. He said you shall be above only and not beneath. My way is up, my place is up there. Let me close with this instruction. Much as we don't exalt the devil, learn to include warfare in your prayer. God is working on that young man. God actually sent him to come here particularly this morning. He didn't tell me. Be sensitive, oh, so that you know meetings that are for you and not miss them. Of death, right, and repeated affliction in your family. Repeated affliction, and says the Lord, it shall no longer stand. It shall no longer stand. It shall no longer stand. In the name of Jesus, you are one of those people that need to build a city of refuge around your house. Very serious thing. Because I'm seeing a lot of your siblings, a lot of your people that are exposed. Very, very exposed. Very, very exposed. Very, very exposed. Build a strong city of refuge around. A strong refuge. Lift your hands. Talk in no other tongues, everybody. Let's just close. I am an amanamanamanoledea. Judu do de dea. Hey. Do you know? I was in a pastor's conference, and a man of God began to teach along this line. First, that, some years ago, I was like, why is this man talking about satanic bond to pastors? We came here to learn about our ministry and our progress. By the time we were done, you know, a man of God said to a senior minister, senior to me, but then a man of God, an old elderly man of God in his 60s and 70s, he looked at the man and said, the reason why our generation is where they are, because they don't pray warfare prayers and they don't pray deliverance prayers. He told him plainly, that's why people are where you are. You will have a lot of knowledge, but your knowledge does not materialize to anything. He said, we don't have much knowledge as people have, but we know where to kick the devil out when we see him. He told him, he said, sometimes when they invite me to preach in all these churches, I just see satanic manipulation in the church, and the pastor will not even know.
Do you understand? I've seen what I'm saying. I went to a community for a meeting, and I began to pray along this line. Spirits holding men captive. One of the major persons that had a very strong demonic stronghold over his life, her life, was the pastor's wife. That's what I was telling you guys about a village that had Agena stuff. The pastor's wife was in that bondage. When anything comes upon her, she begins to behave like a mad person. She can beat people, insult people, she can go naked. It comes and it goes. As a believer, thank God for the power of God. I want to tell you someone, and they do. Listen, if I see Satan, I face him. They didn't listen to prayer first. I'm listening to prayer first. I don't see Satan. I just say, you know, all I know is that the Greek word for Satan is Satanas. See, I learn about those things for myself. When I meet the devil, I don't teach the devil. I rebuke the devil. You understand? Give Jesus praise. Come on. Jesus. Don't miss this wound. I'm just telling you. I'm saying it because you know my kind of ministry. I may not come back to this teaching again in the next 2 years. I may not. You already know my kind of ministry. So when God tells me to do teachings like this, it was last year, December, that he told me, go and teach your people warfare. Plainly. He gave me this sentence. Go and teach them all. Say, many of them, that's why things are going wrong around them. And some of them don't even know what happens when they go for evangelism. They can't win souls. They hate the streets. They can't win souls. I'm talking to somebody, the person is running. Before you go for evangelism, the fights you make before you go meet people, silence those satanic voices. After this teaching, there is a day. The day we're going to have for families. Some of you need to call your family members. Some of you need to tune them in on this prayer. I'm going to conduct general family deliverance here. That's what I'm telling you. Amen. Well, it's fine. You think I'm not new creation. Fine. General from deliverance here. We're going to set families free. I've gone to families. I can't forget the family. This picture remains in my head. In fact, it's been haunting me. Family I went to. When they finished telling us what was wrong with the family, I said, let us pray. I saw men. Yanagwage woman, about 20 years old. 40 something years. They were lying, rolling on the floor, crying. Asking for help. They've seen Shege. You see, everybody in this family, nobody has ever. Here we have a coincidence. One or two persons in the family cannot succeed. But where there are eight men in the family and all the eight of them are not doing well. That one, can I tell you? It was ancestral. It's fine. You don't believe in that, right? Have you gone for mission work here? You know, if you go for mission work, you believe everything I'm saying without Bible. You believe it without Bible, just go there. You see it. Certain family. I told you guys this. Let me share this around. We close. I told you guys, the woman was married into the family. She was a believer, a firebrand believer, but of course, she got married and slowed down. After she got married, the husband was approaching, we see 40, and became very sick. She was running up and down. The husband told her, I am going to die by the end of this year. He said, God forbid. He said, it's not to God forbid. We are how many in this family? All of them died at 40. And it's always this way. Now this sickness, I ain't going to kill me. And the woman said, why didn't you tell me? He said, I thought it was just coincidence. But now I'm here. It's the same thing that happened to my four other brothers. That's happening same age, same time. Are you following me? And the woman, she said that was for the first time she remembered that she was born again. That she used to be a prayerful person at a time in her. I will talk about fasting.
You know, don't believe in fasting. Workers, after this meeting, I'm having a meeting, okay? I'm going to teach you on fasting and prayer. She said she just remembered that she's born again. And the man told her, I cannot live past this year. 29th. They've tried every medical means. Nothing was working. She entered the room. Went on a 3-day straight fast. I said, she's not coming out. Now that is that happens. You know, a prayer warrior. Don't you prayer juggernaut. You just don't know. And she was praying. She was praying. They were already crying by that day, as in that the husband was going. She didn't come out. She prayed until a point she went into a trance. I've told you this story before, right? She went into a trance. And in her trance, she said she saw men and old men with a calabash and musical instruments. They were dancing and they were coming. She said in the realm of the spirit, what she saw herself, she was dressed like a soldier, a warrior. And she blocked the way. And what they were saying is, this is the last sacrifice. We're coming to take the last sacrifice. And she stood there. And they looked at her and said, who is this one? This is a stranger here. She told them, I'm not a stranger. I am legally married into this home. And it ensued like that in the spirit for minutes. The man was struggling with his life in the physical, gasping for breath. The woman was there fighting in the spirit. She did that, and they were saying, if this thing crosses 12 o'clock, we've lost this. And she stood there. We stood them. One shall chase 1,000. We stood those forces until it was 12. She snapped out with a song. No song. Anime, we are victorious. Yes, we are victorious. Glory. That song she came up with. And she didn't need to ask, is he fine? She opened the door. When you receive your answer, you know. She opened the door and went straight there. The man was already come. Put hands on her. On him, prayed, got him up. He's living till today. There are things that don't demand medicine. I believe in the power of God. Not like women, marriage is not a time to lose your faith. Or men, once you just get married, you know they go to church again. Something will bring you back to church. That thing is the devil. Just pray. Come back healthy and come back fine. Some, before they come back, they've lost 3 children. I'm not joking. So before they come back, take your prayer life seriously. The result of prayers goes to the man that prayed. I'm saying all of this, but I'm done with my message. I'm saying this by the Holy Ghost. Take your prayer life seriously. Now, apart from warfare, stay prayed up as a believer. Jesus did not tell Peter to go and start rebuking temptation. I come against temptation. No. He just told him, watch and pray that you will not fall. When you pray ahead, you are already going ahead of the devil to stand against what he's doing. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Let's close.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.